So when Anthony Edwards was coming out in the draft, there was a lot of conversation about whether or not he liked basketball enough, right?
Right.
And Anthony Edwards was joking around. This weekend, he was shooting with his left hand. He's not really taking it that seriously. And then towards the end, he did in the skills competition. To start, he shot with his left hand, and it actually ticked off whoever it was, Reggie Miller, whoever was on the broadcast. And then he later ended up trying. So this has always been a thing, not just in basketball. Hey, Does this guy like basketball enough? Giannis has come out, and Giannis, just trying to be cute, just trying to be funny.
He always is.
As usual, says he doesn't watch basketball, which I found to be a little interesting. Just says, I just, in general, do not watch basketball. Stats highlights how people play. I have no idea, and I love it. I love when I go to the game and have no idea who I'm playing or what they do. And we have that sound as well. How is that okay? Giannis has some of the worst quotes ever.
Yeah.
And we're just letting it slide.
That's really terrible.
We're just letting it slide. Here's the sound from Giannis.
I just, in general, do not watch basketball. So stats, highlights, how people play, I have no idea. And I love it, you know. I love when I go to the game. I have no idea who I'm playing and what they do.
Yeah, how is that okay?
I love
first,
it.
First
it's
he had
crazy.
The what was it, the success versus failure thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he has this. I don't even know who I'm playing. Is he turning into La Liar Part 2? Do you actually think he goes to games sometimes and doesn't know who they're playing?
That's crazy. I do. I think that there is probably a lot of games in which, especially if it's like, you know, if Giannis is going to be matched up for a random night against like Sasha Vezenkov, he has no idea. I think that's the case. I'm assuming he's well versed on what Kevin Durant likes to do and, you know, knows Kevin Durant's game, but it's probably more so like the fringe guys or, you know, your Cam Johnsons, maybe your Mikal Bridges is even like those guys. That's really concerning that your best player because that's also saying, I don't watch film either. Like,
that's
coaches
what I'm saying.
Give us film. I'm not paying attention to none of that. That's
and people
crazy.
Would say, because he just gets in and just runs to the lane, what does he have
Absolutely.
To watch film on?
Right, exactly. Tendons, like he can beat you to any spot.
Yeah.
He can run through you. It's just crazy. For sure, it definitely speaks to how athletically gifted he is, that he can just pretty much go out there on vibes and score 40. But it also, makes you think, like, you know, if this dude loved the game like LeBron James loves the game, like, how much better would he be? You joke all the time about him. I don't even think you're joking about him not having a bag. He really doesn't.
He doesn't. He hasn't needed
and would
one.
Would he have more of a bag or more of counter moves, just anything besides the Giannis that we know of, just again, straight line drives. It's definitely an interesting question. And, you know, as he's going to age, or if he, you know, knock on wood, gets injured and loses some of that athleticism, and he's going to have to rely on some of that veteran, you know, smarts that he's picked up throughout the years, is he going to be able to do it? Mm-hmm. Because, like, the league gets new every single year. There's younger guys and dudes who have bigger bags than ever. You got dudes like Chet Holmgren and Cooper Flagg and stuff like that, or Connor, whatever. I would not want De'Aaron Fox saying that. I'd be concerned if my best player was out here saying, I don't watch basketball. I really don't care. I go into every night and it's pretty much like a box of chocolates. I have no idea who I'm guarding or
crazy.
What their bag is. That's insane. It's
from
insane.
I have given De'Aaron a hard time about, you know, we had podium gate and things like that. But this is your franchise guy. And are we going to look at Giannis the same way people now look at Shaq?
Yeah.
To say, hey, if he had worked harder, if he had done certain things.
Yep.
Now, I think that, and I'll just be completely honest with you, I think that perception.
I got four championships though, young fella.
Well, he does. But I think that perception matters and appearance matters. And if you look at Shaq, who is a bigger dude, you could say, well, he's not in shape. He's this, he's that. And it's easier for people to say the quote-unquote lazy thing.
Yeah.
Whereas Giannis, you wouldn't think that because he's shredded. Yes. They literally call him the Greek freak. But just because he looks like that, yeah. if you watch him play, he is a little bit lazy, right? Yeah. Maybe he's not lazy in the gym,
right?
But he's lazy
like
when it comes
Simmons,
to it,
right?
It's almost like Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
And if Giannis, you get Dame Lillard, okay, you won one without Dame, then you get Dame, and if Giannis finishes career with one championship,
yeah.
you're gonna say
kinda disappointing.
This guy really
off.
yeah, did not live up to his potential, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah.
You've been doing the same thing you've been doing.
Yeah.
You work hard. We're not saying you don't, but you were blessed with a lot of gifts that most people weren't. Yeah. And you just kind
brothers.
Of especially not your brothers, and you've just kind of rode that the whole way.
Yeah.
And maybe that's enough for you.
Right.
But I'm not gonna sit here and act like Giannis can say it because he jokes about Oreos and corn dogs, but other people can't say it.
Yeah.
That's a bad look.
It's a really bad look. And you wonder, too, I saw Dame had, like, his dream starting five, and Giannis wasn't included. Dame's a baller.
Yeah.
Like, he loves who. He is a hooper. He would actually describe himself as a hooper. I wonder how much of that Dame sees and how much, real recognized real. And, it was the big contention. I think Shaq's a perfect example because Shaq and Kobe, that's the thing that ended up breaking them up was Kobe was like, this dude does not work nearly as hard as I do. And if he just put in half the work, the sky would be the limit. And I could imagine Dame walking in and Doc Rivers maybe even walking into that situation and saying, man, I thought this dude is like a generational. I put him up there with Luka and Jokic, all those guys. But the work I see him putting in, yeah, he's in the gym. But it kind of raises the same question as Ben Simmons. Giannis has been in the league a long time now. What has he really gotten better? I mean, like, he has gotten better at what he does, but how has he expanded his game? Is he a better free throw shooter? No, he takes 35 seconds to take a single free throw. Is he a better three-point shooter? Not everyone's going to be Kawhi Leonard and go from 32% to 40, but he's pretty much abandoned shooting threes. And so I think it's a fair question to say, is this dude doing enough to win championships? Especially when, like we've been talking about for weeks now, league is better than ever.
Yeah, yeah, and it's more skilled than ever. And Giannis was joking with Dame about winning a championship. It was just, there was a lot of mic'd up material over the weekend, and he's joking about being old. Right. And he's 29 years old. And I think that we're going to look back on Giannis and his story is outstanding.
Incredible.
Right.
Don't literally not a get Disney me wrong. Movie.
And I've had a long go. I got my ring. I'm just chilling. Yeah. And he can't say that out loud.
Sure.
So he's doing it in different ways. And that's fine.
That's fair.
That's
yeah,
fine.
That's
but we're not going to look back on Giannis as it's crazy to say. I don't even know if we'll look back on Giannis being a top 20 player when it's all said and done.
That's super fair. Yeah. I mean, with where 50, he was trending.
I'll go 50. Yeah. I feel safe saying top 50, but anything besides that, because when it's all said and done, meaning when we're old and grayer for me, and we're looking at these greats, you're going to say, he's exactly what his name was. He was the Greek freak.
Mm-hmm.
He was a freak of nature.
Freak of nature,
who did what he wanted to do. That was it.
That was it. Yeah, got a championship. And
who's his comp now? Like old, like Kareem?
People call him just this.
I mean,
people
just
literally
in terms
call
of freakish
him
nature.
This generation Shaq, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the best example.
Or Elijah one, maybe?
I think Shaq is a good one, not like play style-wise,
no.
but like just, I mean, how
dominance,
he gets his buckets,
dominance,
too. It's
yeah.
like he's getting 80% of his points around the rim, and he's shooting 68% on those shots. That's something that literally only Shaq would do. And, it's just he goes about it in a different way. He doesn't, back people down and then hit them with the chest bump and dunk on their face. He just drives in a straight line right at you. So it's a little bit different way of doing it. But, in terms of dominance and efficiency, it's probably Shaq.
Off the top of my head, The Bucks have to shoot the most free throws in the league, right?
Absolutely.
It's
got to
be them
and Dame, yeah.
Them and
that's,
the
that's
Thunder.
Like 20 free throws just between the two of them.
Yeah, it's got to be them and the Thunder because that's what they do. And Giannis, I know there's a game I think last month where he missed 10 free throws. Mm. You look at Doc Rivers and
that
we have some sound
struggling.
About Doc Rivers and is he overrated? JJ Redick, we have some sound of JJ Redick going in on Doc Rivers. But I'm putting the blame pie on a team where I'm not trying to be that guy, but I was one of those dudes that wasn't super high on the Bucks as far as This is for sure going to be same. The team. I saw something that was pretty funny, though, and Simone would have loved this segment. But basically, somebody assumed or somebody wrote out how the Bucks would fare based on their zodiac signs. Hold on, though. But then they literally nailed it, yeah. Right? And it was, and I should have sent it to you, but it was based on what Dame is, based on what Giannis is, and it said, this team is going to struggle based on their mindsets, but they will win games simply because they're so talented, not because, you know, they would have gelled. And it's basically what's happening.
What's Doc Rivers' sign? How's he factoring?
You got to add that in now. You got to add that in. As ridiculous as it sounds, you have a team that is losing to some really, really bad teams.
Yeah, they're sure.
And it's not great. They lost to a Jimmy Butler-less Miami by 26. They lost to the Grizzlies roster, who literally that was a G League roster.
We saw that roster, yeah.
Shout out to my guy, Jacob Gilliard. You got Gilliard doing his thing for the Kaisenats of the world. Losing games. They're losing games by an average of almost 11 points per game. They have the same record, 3-7 in that stretch as the Pistons. And we're going to put it all on Doc. We got the sound when we get back here in a second, but I think they all have to take some responsibility in that blame pie. We got some Kings talk coming up as well around 12 o'clock. And when we get back, we also have Sacramento being the front runner to the Oakland A's. Or are they? A lot of weird tweets and posts coming out of the A's collective during the weekend. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
What do I keep trying to tell y'all about these athlete podcasts? All right. You have Antonio Pierce now, who had a risky comment on Max Crosby's podcast. And now we'll see what happens next. The league might issue a warning. So this is Pierce. He talked openly. This is from Pro Football Talk. Pierce talked openly about playing Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes the same way the Pistons used to play Michael Jordan, with relentless physicality. Pierce also said, quote, "We got to knock off the head of the snake, 15. This is again from Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports. That's a risky comment from Pierce or from any NFL player or coach back in 2004, 5 years before Congress joined forced the NFL to have an epiphany about head trauma. Then Browns defensive tackle Gerard Warren said this about then Steelers rookie quarterback Ben Roethlisberger in the days preceding a Cleveland-Pittsburgh game. One rule they used to tell me, kill the head and the body's dead. And the NFL saw those comments and issued a warning to the Browns. So I don't think
need a little bit more than a warning if you're threatening decapitation.
That's worse. That is worse than the Antonio Pierce one. So Antonio Pierce will probably get a warning there. And this is what happens.
Right, exactly.
These mics are everywhere, yeah. And they're hot.
Yeah, I don't really hate what he said. I mean,
no, me neither.
You know, like, I mean, I am a fan of a team that was, as Nate was as well, and Niner fans, Nate educated me on that, of Bounty Gate. And so it does kind of start to tiptoe on the lines of that kind of stuff. But, I mean, you know, this is where having too many mics and, you know, I guess there's no nuance in that situation. He was just trying to say, be physical. Like, yeah. I think obvious. I don't think Antonio Pierce is literally operating
semantics here.
You know, yeah, exactly. Like, he's not running some, you know, ring of pay for injury type stuff. He's just saying, I want my teams to be hyper physical. And, you know, yeah, it's like what we talked about when that Packers radio host said, you know, we got to get Brock Purdy out of the game. It's not necessarily that those things aren't said. It's just how you say it is what matters. I don't have an issue with what AP said, though.
No. The Packers one was way worse.
The Packers one was
way worse. Yeah, so we'll see what happens with AP, I think, at worst. I mean, because, you know, kill the head and the body's dead is far worse than...
A little too on the nose.
Yes, that's a little bit too literal. So if they just got a warning, the Browns, then yeah. I think that the Raiders, at worst, gets a warning. And there is a warning coming, or more than a warning, for Oakland and the A's, as the whole thing has been confusing this weekend. The A's, I think it was A's on NBC Sports, between the span of, what was it, 2 days? They went from,
I think it was a one day.
Sacramento is the front runner to land the Oakland A's, and then they posted 2 days later, A's focused on playing in Oakland until 2028 and the Las Vegas move. This is from Trissy Rodriguez, and she says, while some reports indicate Sacramento, Vegas, or Utah could be potential suitors, the team is focused on playing in Oakland at the Coliseum until its new stadium is ready in 4 years. Mick Akers reported Friday, citing a person with knowledge of this situation. This conflicts a previous report from The Athletic, which cited a source briefed on the A's search process, that Sutter Health Park in Sacramento is the front runner to host the A's from 2025 to 2027. It's a mess. We know this whole thing is a mess. And I think that we talked, Chris, about this whole expansion team thing. Jeff Passan on MLB Expansion says this is the longest MLB has gone between expansion franchises since a 60-year gap between 1901 and 1961. But two new teams are coming. A two-team MLB expansion is seen as an inevitability, with Nashville and Salt Lake City seen as potential candidates. So I don't know, where does Oakland fit back in there? Because Oakland, the only reason they would do this
is to get some guarantee.
So does that kick Nashville or Salt Lake City out?
Probably. Like, I would think so. Like, if, you know, because they're not going to expand four teams, they're definitely not going to expand three, obviously. And that's why I said last week, like, you got to, even if you do get some form of guarantee from commissioner, you got to consider the source, because there are tons of other teams that have been promised, not promised, but I'm sure have been, you know, given nudge, nudge, wink, wink, under the table deals or handshakes that have said, hey, if we expand, this is definitely going to be one of the places we're going to look at. And so, you know, if Oakland gets that same sort of guarantee, I just don't think it would actually be that. I don't think it would be a guarantee. I think it would be a, yeah, we will heavily consider you, but all options are on the table, is what it sounds like. But who would have seen that this thing would be a mess? I mean, if you've been following any of this, this is kind of very unsurprising that even these things of like, oh, it seems like we're moving towards the direction, whether that be Sacramento or Oakland having those meetings, and then just literally 24 hours later, it just being completely flip-flopped on his head. And now it doesn't seem like anybody. I know we had Casey Pratt on the morning show this morning, and we didn't really get to hear all of his comments, but it just seems like everybody is still in a state of complete confusion. Uh-huh. From guys like Casey Pratt, or us here, to Casey Pratt, to the Jeff Passans and the Rosenthals of the world, it seems like nobody has any sort of idea, or couldn't even guide you in a direction in which they feel like this thing is going right now.
Yeah, and if you look at Fisher and everything that he has gone back on and said, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him, right? It's more about how much do you trust Major League Baseball to ride for Oakland if they do you a solid.
Yeah.
We all have situations where you do a buddy a solid and you know going into it, whether it's money, whether it's whatever, all right, I'm going to do this for you, but I'm not really sure when I'm going to see this again. And you know that going in, right? If you do that and then they let you down, you have nobody to blame but yourself. Oakland finds himself in a weird spot, because what do you have to lose?
You
might as well, okay, if they end
if
up...
If they're going, you might as well try and get something out of it.
If they end up going back on their word, at least you got... You know, you kept the jobs in Oakland. Yeah. You kept the team in Oakland for a little bit longer. From the 209, Sacramento needs to be wary of following John Fitcher's circus into town. On a lighter note, don't forget Fans Fest this Saturday in Oakland. Come out and support Oakland teams and fans. From
That's
the 209.
Awesome.
I think that Sacramento A's fans are now a bit confused, because...
Super confused.
I think if you are... Here's my question. And I know Dave had brought it up as well. If you were in the camp of, I'm not gonna go if they're in Sacramento, because I'm not supporting Fisher, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Do you feel any differently if they play the last games in Oakland because of a handshake deal, or I would say a right. written deal, that they will get an expansion team? I guess so. But what if there's no promises?
Yeah, it shouldn't change.
Why would you feel any different?
I don't. I can't speak for those people, but I don't see why you would feel different mm-hmm. because you're still either way you're giving money to John Fisher and the circus, as the texter called it there. Like I don't really see what the difference is. I guess just for nostalgia sake, like them playing their last games in the place that they've been playing it might be worth one or two games going to for those kind of people, but. For me as a casual, like I am conflicted on whether I would go to games in Sacramento because it is like I've never been an Oakland A's fan. Mm-hmm. I've never drawn that line. And so I feel like as this being my city and this is the city that I want to see get a baseball team regardless, I know the situation's terrible, but it would be great for the city of Sacramento to have another major league franchise there. And if I feel like I can, give even a little bit to try and make that thing stay and to build this city out, it's going to be tough for me to say no, like knowing that I'm giving money to John Fisher, who is he's a terrible owner. I mean, especially from the Oakland side, and I know what that feels like. Like, I would have hated to give the Maloofs money at the time of them relocating, but I think it's going to end up being one of those things where once it's solidified, if they do play games in Sacramento, they're already here. It's one of those where I get everyone's got their morals, and I'm not going to tell anyone what side they should fall on or that they're wrong for falling on one side or the other, but if they're already here, I think the damage is pretty much done in my eyes.
Everybody's going to look at it differently. I get things from everybody's got that cousin, right, or friend that says, hey, don't go to these stores because right. they support
yes. this, XYZ. Yeah.
this Right, this political person or whatever. And you start looking down the list and you got to make a decision yeah. because, brother, those stores are the closest to me. Yeah. I mean, the list just keeps getting longer and longer.
Yeah.
One, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And two, those stores aren't going to go under because they didn't get my right. $50, right. right? And now I got to drive farther. And that's not me talking yeah. personally. Everybody's going to view this thing Absolutely. Differently based on, and I don't know if morals is the right term, just what you believe in. Because mm-hmm. either way, if they're going, do you want to kind of see them off
yeah.
in a way? And knowing that Fisher is not losing this thing, regardless of whether you buy an $8 hot dog or
exactly.
not. Everybody, we don't police fanning here on this show. You can do whatever you want. But I think that people are going to be torn because that's why you have Manfred saying you could be a fan of a different team. I mean, what are your choices?
Just don't watch baseball. I love
yeah.
that. I mean, I would honestly just not give
choices?
Money to Manfred.
realistically, but realistically, would you just, okay, if you have three options.
Yeah.
All right. If you are an A's fan, you can continue to support the A's, which means supporting Fisher. You can switch over to the Giants, or I guess C, just pick a random, or you could, there's two more. C, pick a random team,
yep.
or D, just not watch baseball anymore.
Yeah.
Be like Alan Stiles and watch college baseball. what are your options? None of those options
yeah.
are very good.
No. And I would just say, my two cents and advice would be don't let John Fisher ruin your fan experience. Like, I know it's terrible. It is really, really horrible to give him money, but if it's going to bring you joy going to a game, like if you could put all that stuff aside for 2-3 hours and just enjoy the moments while you can, that would be what I would
yeah.
lean towards.
Yeah, you got a young kid
exactly.
or whoever it is,
exactly.
and you have a chance to go, and yeah. Aaron Judge is in town.
Exactly.
He's going to be here either way.
Shohei, like, I mean, I'm sure those Dodger tickets are going to sell out like crazy.
Yeah.
But like, absolutely.
Maybe just buy a couple, end up flipping them somehow so you don't feel
yeah.
as bad. So technically you didn't pay.
Yeah.
There's ways
and
to,
you
to make yourself feel
too,
better.
Like, it is kind of historic. Like, it's pretty crazy to say I watched Aaron Judge at
yeah.
a minor league ballpark.
Right.
Like, that's kind of crazy to say too.
Yeah. When we get back, Chris Sims had something to say about a certain quarterback. Me and Chris have said similar things, but he went in. We'll tell you what he said, and we'll play that audio when we get back. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Yes.
Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Chris, you ever thought about what life would be like if you had a twin?
Sometimes, but I feel like it would be more annoying than like... Like, it would be really fun. You could probably pull off some really good hijinks, mm-hmm. but I feel like there would be like a constant like identity crisis right. of like, I am me, they are them. Why can't people figure that out? Like, it's because it's so obvious to you, but, you know, to everybody else, it's like, no, you're literally the same person.
Right. I think that everybody probably spends a bit of time wondering what it would be like if you had a twin, but I think that twins probably spend a lot of time wondering what life would be like if they didn't have
exactly.
a twin.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's just somebody, it's just, I know that they are extremely close and they can read each other's minds right. and all that jazz, but I was just watching that Netflix You Are What You Eat, and there were four or five sets of twins, and they're all just kind of, they go through, they had to use twins
right.
for this exercise.
That makes sense, right.
So one eats this, one eats that, and you see how their bodies kind of
right.
react, and they finish each other's sentences, and it's super cool,
yeah.
but you got to think that, man, you know, they probably wonder, I'd like to be yeah. just me, right? Well,
well, you're a parent too. Like, could you imagine from the parents? Like, I'm sure you have a younger sibling. Mm-hmm. My parents would call me and my sister the wrong names.
Right.
I can't imagine two kids who literally look the exact same. And
yeah.
If your name is Kevin and Kyle, it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Guys, like, just you know which one I meant. Like,
right. You know who it is, yeah. and then they probably do that stuff. Maybe parents are even more. Maybe it happens less because they focus more
right. yeah, that's true.
On it. Who knows? I mean, at this point, I'm, you know, with between the cats and the baby, and they all end in A. I'm like, which one is it? You know, whoever.
Yeah.
And there's poop everywhere. What's going on here? So Keegan Murray basically has something that he does.
This is incredible.
Which is kind of a shot at his brother a little bit.
It is. No, it definitely is.
And maybe we got to try to hear from his brother and see what he has to say about this. But here's Keegan Murray.
Savage.
When asked about what he does to avoid getting his picture taken.
What is your goal? What is the aspirations when you come and play amongst your peers who are also trying to, you know, become one of the top players in this league?
Yeah, I mean, for everyone here, it's a good honor, especially in your first couple of years of playing. So just out, go out here, be competitive, win like last year. That's the goal.
That's what's up. Keegan, you know I have sources, right? So when I have sources, you let me know if I'm accurate or not. Some sources have told me that sometimes when you're walking certain places, somebody may ask for a picture or autograph and ask if you're Keegan Murray. And I've heard you. So what? I let you finish it. What do you? What?
That's true or not? I'm not saying that's true or not.
What I was told that he may say, he's Chris Murray, his twin brother. Sometimes, and they'd be like, oh, okay, all right. He gets to move along and go about your business. So
it's a good pass to use. I mean, it's a good pass to use. You got to have fun with it a little bit. So.
Keegan, man, listen, man, listen. I got here to Indiana. Knees were sore. My knees were sore, Keegan. Do you know why my knees were sore, Keegan?
Why are you sore? Explain it.
We were on the same flight, Keegan. I was about to get my emergency exit seat, and somebody said, no, Keegan Murray is on this flight as well. He has to take that seat. So how did my seat feel, Keegan?
Hey, man, I don't know. My seat felt pretty good, so I don't know about you, bro.
So he says he's Chris.
Pretty great.
And but where is this? This can't happen in Sacramento because
it could.
Because fans would say, no. I mean, fans
right.
know ball out
yeah,
here.
Right.
They would say, no, your brother is in Portland.
Right.
Right now.
It works pretty well. I would imagine it probably works like, you know, even here, it probably works 30 or 40% of the time because people yeah. will just be like, oh, I wonder if his brother's in town or something like that. I could see it working a lot, but you're all right. That is. It's kind of a shot at Chris.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like a, oh, yeah, ain't no one want to take
Nobody's
a picture
checking.
With him. Like,
Nobody's
yeah,
checking.
It'll,
for Chris.
As a matter of fact, not only will you hear, no, I'm actually his twin brother, Chris, and not say you'll want a picture, you'll just say, oh, okay, sorry, never mind.
Yeah.
And just walk away.
Chris, you can't.
That's Chris.
Crazy. You can't stand for that.
That's crazy.
You can't stand for that, Chris.
Yeah. Chris has got to come out and say something. He's got to send some shot his way. I don't know. He's got to have something.
From Brandon Deitzman on the Sack Chat, I have two sets of twin nieces and nephews. Two sets.
Wow.
The girls hate it when you mix up their names.
I mean,
it's got to be understandable, though, right?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think it ever is. Because it's just something that happens all of the time. And so you're probably constantly like, watch, this person's going to get us wrong. This person's going to get us wrong. Mm-hmm. And it happens every single time. And it's just, again, because Twins will always say, how do you not see, like, no, his eyebrow is like way thicker than mine or something. Like, it's always something that they're like, how do you not notice this? Mm-hmm. And yeah, nobody ever does. So I do feel bad for Twins, all the Twins out there. They're just an anomaly to me.
Yeah, then you have triplets, right?
Don't even get me started. Yeah, I'm just, the more and more you add, I'm like, it just doesn't make sense to me how you function.
Have you ever seen triplets out in the wild?
Yeah, I used to have triplets at my school. High school. Yeah, they were not identical at all. But
three boys, three girls?
No, two girls and one boy. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I think we had some. I don't think we had any in elementary school either. But yeah, it was. I mean, like I said, they weren't identical, so it wasn't a huge trip. But even then, it's like, I mean, that in itself is pretty cool. The fact that you can kind of have your own little squad mm-hmm. that you can just kind of roll with at all points and. You get it at home. You get it at school. Like
you got a whole infield right there.
You can split up homework too. Like there's definitely some perks to it.
Right.
For sure.
I think just throw a third in there. Yeah. But I'd rather maybe be a triplet than a twin.
Yeah.
Right. Because hey, we're all three of us are in there together.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. We can Misery play loves games. Company, right? Right. We can play Go Fish. We can do a lot of different things. Yeah. I don't know who's playing Go Fish, but it is a good game. It is a good game.
Okay.
Well, Chris Sims was talking about a certain QB as if. He had a twin who was not as good at football and or was cloned. Let's hear from Chris Sims. And we want to see, as far as the audience, if you can guess who Chris Sims is talking about.
He said, you pit him against a guy that's high up your rankings that you would take Kyler over. Was there like anybody like or anybody that you would say, I got to think real hard
about
this?
Well, that would be one of them for
really?
Sure. Yeah, I don't think like, you know, you heard me talk yesterday. Yeah. You know, I respect a lot about, but I think is also like the most overrated player in football. All right, I just that's me. I know I'm wrong. I take a lot of crap about that comment, but you know, he plays quarterback for a team that's an all-star team.
Hmm. Well, it's not Brock Purdy, obviously.
Oh, the next line would have gave it away that it's not Brock Purdy too.
Yeah,
because he says they have the best O-line in the NFL.
Right.
So that is. Right. Not the case.
From the text line, they are wondering, is it C.J. Stroud? No, it is not C.J. Stroud. Also asking, is it Mahomes? No, it's not Mahomes.
Not Josh Allen either.
That the air yard thing that just came out about Mahomes was super interesting.
Really?
He's dead last
really?
In air yards this past season. So we'll get into that as well.
Don't let Niners media get a hold of that.
The answer was no. They'll find a way.
Well,
to
not
it.
Lamar. Like, not Burrow.
Not
right?
Lamar.
I mean, Burrow.
All-star team, it could be Burrow.
I mean, just receivers, right? And
guess,
one
right.
star lineman.
Yeah.
If
your answer made you feel like you wanted a cheesesteak, you were correct. That is Chris Sims talking about one Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts, look, man, like I've
allegations.
Said, I know Nate is higher on Jalen Hurts than me. I'm not that high on Jalen Hurts. Now,
yeah.
Now,
sure.
Chris Sims saying that Kyler Murray would look better than Jalen Hurts with the Eagles, I think that's incredibly interesting. I think it's a lot of perception. I think the video game thing was overblown with Kyler. I'm more worried about, and I hate to do this to a fellow Zont, but I'm more worried about Kyler running and getting injured than anything else. But I think it's interesting because Jalen, everything went right last season.
Everything. Every single thing. With the exception of, like, you know, a couple weeks at the end of the season of him being hurt. But
and he won
that,
a lot of games this season,
sure
but
did.
They fell off
completely.
Such a cliff. Mm-hmm.
It's not fair to say everything went right for him.
What, 2 years ago?
You said last season.
I'm talking about when they went to the Super Bowl.
Okay, 2 years.
Yeah,
okay,
two
yeah.
years
yeah, because you said last season. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
guess
last season,
yeah,
last
literally,
season.
Yeah,
two seasons ago.
Two seasons
yeah, yeah.
ago. That's where we're at
yeah,
now
okay.
as
yeah.
of, you know, Super Bowl's over now.
Right.
And then they pushed through. It looked ugly the whole time.
Yeah.
And eventually
literally
it caught up.
Pushed through.
Yeah, literally tush pushed through, and eventually they hit a wall.
It's interesting. It's really interesting, just the Jalen Hurts conversation, because, I mean, he earned every ounce of praise and just about every dollar that he earned, but you know, you just, when you see them collapse completely like they did this year, and I think Chris Sims does have a point, not enough was really, a lot was brought up about Brock Purdy's weapons and all the targets he has, but, you know, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and even Dallas Goedert, who was hurt, but they had two running backs this year as well and the best O-line in the NFL. There's a lot of things working for him, and for it to just completely collapse the way it did, like, there's a really good argument that if you're truly a great quarterback, you just don't allow your team to do that. You don't allow your team to go, what was it, 12-0, 13-0, and then did they lose every single – like, it felt like they lost every single game after that Niners week. And, you know,
I think they beat some bad teams, Giants or whoever.
I feel like if you're truly an elite quarterback, I just don't think you allow that kind of thing to happen, especially with, you know, especially with all the talent that he had around him. It is interesting when you bring up the Kyler thing too, because I do wonder, you know, how much of Kyler is situational. Like, I think he gets a really, really rough end of the stick there with how he's talked about as a quarterback. I think because of largely the video game thing and just kind of letting, you know, he's a smaller guy. Like, I think there's a lot there to kind of pick apart. But if you put him in that Eagles situation, how could you not say, just as an individual talent, how could you not see Kyler going crazy, like looking like he was back at Oklahoma?
Yeah, and if we take it to our guy, my friend Cam Newton and his game changer or game manager conversation, just because I think when you think game manager, you think of a specific quarterback that looks a specific way. Sure. And you look at an Alex Smith or guys like that. I think that the way Jalen Hurts does things might be different, but I think he's a game manager.
Absolutely.
I just think he's a unique game manager where, okay, there's some design runs and there's things like that. They're literally managing the game to get to that fourth and one, fourth and inches, and do the tush push.
Yep. Yeah.
And they have about
one or two deep passes a game where they just kind of air it out.
Right. How many if you look at how many times the game breaks down or a play breaks down and Jalen Hurts, it's all by whatever is designed.
Sure.
And it works out or it doesn't, or he gets down because he doesn't want to get injured.
Yeah.
I don't think Jalen Hurts is a game changer. I don't think so.
I think I'm there too.
I think he's a unique game manager.
Yes. That's probably where I would go to, where it does feel like a lot of the time he's managing. Like, he's not, you know, playing outside of himself. He's not, you know, elevating his team really. He's just tossing it to his weapons. Like, and they have great weapons. And there is a very fine line between the conversation of Jalen Hurts and I think in a way what Brock Purdy does, but I think that if you watch enough of each of their games, you see that Brock is just, he's spreading it out a lot more than Jalen is.
Yeah. Yeah. When we get back, continuing the conversation, and the Niners, will they have to trade Brandon Ayuk? We talked with Super Bowl wide receiver Torrey Smith, and we will hear what he had to say. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We have some player beef, Chris?
Yeah, this is even better. It's retired player beef. Well, half of it is retired player beef. J.J. Redick is currently in the throes of a Twitter exchange, a heated Twitter exchange at that, with Patrick Beverley. All of this kind of stems from, well, it does stem actually from J.J. Redick this morning going on First Take and having some words for Doc, pretty much. Stephen A. and Shannon are going back and forth on, you know, Doc at All-Star Weekend and all that stuff, and we'll get into it, but Doc had some comments about his involvement with the James Harden to the Clippers trade. He said, "I was the one, obviously, they consulted. They made calls, and I was one of the guys who said it would be a great deal for them because I thought he fit better with them than he did fit with the Sixers team. I think he's a perfect fit there." Now, if anybody heard Doc Rivers immediately after he was let go by the Sixers, or after he left the Sixers, he had some pretty interesting comments about James Harden, just essentially saying he played a certain way the first half of the season, And then after he didn't get the All-Star nod, he pretty much went back to James Harden of old. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it spurred, I don't know if we have, do we have the sound? For J.J. Redick, here's J.J. this morning and what he had to say about Doc Rivers.
Conference. Side note real quick, no one's going to react to Doc's audio there. We've been seven minutes since we showed that audio. Nobody's going to react to Doc's audio.
Do you want me to get it for you?
We don't have to repeat it.
I can repeat it.
I've seen the trend now. I've seen the trend for years.
What's the trend?
The trend is always making excuses. Doc, we get it. Taking over a team in the middle of the season is hard. It's hard. We get it. Just like getting traded in the middle of the season is hard for a player. We get it. Mm-hmm. But it's always an excuse. It's always throwing your team under the bus. They lose to Memphis. Oh, it's his players. Memphis was playing G League guys and two-way guys. And then you look at his quotes over the weekend. Now he wants to take credit for the James Harden trade to the Clippers working out. He wants credit for that. There's just no – there's never accountability with that guy. Well, there's never accountability. Well,
that was a pen thrown down, by the way.
So then after that, Pat Bev gets at JJ.
Yes.
And is defending Doc, who Pat Bev is now on the Bucks.
Well, JJ never played with Doc, right, on the Sixers?
He did. He played with him on the Clippers and on the Sixers. On the Clippers. It was on the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it was on the Sixers.
Of course he played on the Clippers. Yes. Stupid, yeah.
Yeah. So you have Pat Bev who, look, these mics are going to get you.
They get hot.
So which side do you land on? I mean, I don't even know what Pat Bev is upset about besides just riding for his guy?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only thing Pat Bev is doing is riding for his guy. It's just a weird horse to get behind because it seems like everybody, I mean, JJ, yeah, played for Doc Rivers. It seems like everybody who had any sort of Doc Rivers experience doesn't seem to speak highly of him. So, I don't really know where Pat Bev is getting super upset at. Maybe it is just, hey, maybe this is politics. Maybe Pat Bev is like, you know, if I go out, have his back, maybe I can get some 25 minutes next game or something, which I respect. Go ahead, Pat, get yours, get your money, protect your chickens. But I think JJ's right. I mean, I think that it's ridiculous that Doc, I mean, he started the entire Ben Simmons fiasco. Like, if we remember correctly, he literally said, they asked Doc Rivers immediately after that game against the Hawks. They said, Doc, it was essentially like, do you blame Ben Simmons for that moment? And he said, I don't know how to answer that right now. All right, mm-hmm. The question was, can Ben Simmons be a point guard on a championship team?
Right.
And he said, I don't know how to answer that right now. Mm-hmm. And after that, Ben Simmons just, it gave everybody carte blanche to just drag Ben Simmons through the mud. I mean, there was Philadelphia news stations showing trash cans in a flood saying, here's Ben Simmons seen, you know,
they love
traversing
making their
through.
Players
I'm like,
trash
Jesus
cans.
Christ.
Every
man,
sport.
This is crazy. So, Doc does have a tendency of throwing players under the bus. And, you know, it's never been Doc's fault for sure. That's definitely a common trend. And it's interesting to hear JJ just kind of flat out say it. I wonder how many other players feel that way or are willing to come out with it because, you know, Doc's been handed a lot of good teams in his day and only has one ring to show for it.
Yeah, and now he has a golden opportunity here to at least get to it because he hasn't even really been to the finals very often.
No.
Right? It was two times with the Celtics. Is
I think that's it.
So you got at least the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, you have to deal with the Celtics. Who do you think pound for pound has a better roster? The Celtics or the Bucks? It's
Celtics.
the Celtics, right?
Celtics, easy, yeah.
So at least he has that out. He doesn't have the best. All you have is two top 20 players in the league. Maybe, I don't think Dame is still top 10.
Yeah,
but
no.
You have one top 5 player in the league and a top 15 player in the league.
Right.
But would you be able to skate out of that?
I don't think so. I think there's more emergency with the Bucks. Like the Celtics at least have the built-in excuse of, you know, Tatum's 25 or whatever. Jaylen Brown's
33.
26. That's the thing. Dame's 33.
Giannis is 29.
Giannis is already calling himself old,
that's
like
right.
You said. They got Brooke Lopez, who's 36. Middleton's 35.
He doesn't age, though. He doesn't age, though.
He's a wonderless. I will not go off on the Lopez twins, but yes.
Middleton's
absolutely.
32.
They just got older guys on their starting lineup, and they bring in Doc. I mean, if you fire Coach Budenholzer, and then you bring in Adrian Griffin, and then you fire Adrian Griffin and bring in Doc halfway through the season, that means that you need to win right here, right now. There is no 3-year plan. There is no nothing. There is win a championship this year, and we'll give you a grace period of next year. But if you're not competing seriously after next year, you're gone. Like, mm-hmm. that's what you're brought in here for. We brought in Dame. Dame is an older dude. He ain't got time to waste. You have to win right here, right now. And you put out the numbers. They're 3-7 in their last 10. They're looking about as bad as any team in the NBA right now. And that's going to fall on Doc. Like, there is going to be a very hard line of, hey, Doc's responsibility is from this point on. And really, since that point, they've been terrible. So I don't know who else Doc can blame. I'm sure he'll maybe blame Dame. Maybe he'll blame Giannis for not being dedicated enough to the game. But I'll tell you what, again, it's not going to be Doc's fault.
It rarely is. When we get back, coming up next, we will have a conversation about Brandon Ayuk. We will hear from Torrey Smith and also what Sauce Gardner had to say about the star wide receiver from San Francisco. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.